Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about different aspects of ministry. We spent quite a bit of time talking about money, finances, and ministry, and we recently been talking about waiting for your ministry. In general, when we're talking about waiting, we're talking about our relationship with God. Waiting, learning to wait, knowing how to wait, being content with waiting is part of being with God. When we try to use our own soulish strength, we are basically telling God the spiritual way is not good enough. When we try to push or pull or get around what God is doing in our lives, we are saying we know better than God. So developing that habit of waiting, enjoying waiting, being a part of the waiting process, is a waiter, and we wait with him and for him and on him. This is one of the main ways we begin to redeem the time, redeem our time, bring into captivity time. And in that process, we also bring into captivity every aspect of our soulical strength. We feel these pressures to accomplish something, to produce something, to be and have meaning in the eyes of others or in our own eyes. How are you doing? Well, we have a standard, whether it's from other people, from our history, from our temperament. We evaluate how we're doing. Are we on track? Are we in the will of God? But waiting, being in that awareness of his presence and being satisfied and content that that's all you need is to be with him, regardless of what is going on around you, spending time, denying yourself other activities, and bringing every thought and emotion and desire captive to be with him. And that process alone brings spirit to the head. So your spirit brings your soul and divides your soul from your soulical strength. There's nothing wrong with your soul. God gave you the soul he wanted you to have, and he's well pleased with it. The problem is we let it do what it wants to. It's like an untamed horse. You're going to get hurt. You have to bring that horse into submission And that takes time and talent and risk and sometimes some bruises. Takes effort. You can't just let a horse run wild and then expect it to take to a saddle and bridle. Expect it to know how to follow the bit. Expect it to want to be under saddle. Likewise, our soul needs to be brought into a proper alignment with our spirit and freed from the irresponsibility of doing what it wants. Your soul was never meant to be independent. God created us spirit beings that had a soul and lived in a body. We lost that when Adam and Eve died. Their soul didn't die. Their body didn't die. It's their spirit that died. For you and I, 2,000 years ago, we were reborn as spirit. We again became spirit beings. But our soul, we have the same soul the day after we became Christians as the day before. And the day before, our soul did not have any resources other than its own. Now the day after, the spirit is back in charge. And it's okay for the soul to learn how to be just a soul and not in charge of everything. And that's going to take time. It's going to take time for your soul to learn how to be just a soul. You can sort of think of a dysfunctional family where one of the kids is trying to run the house because the parents are all out of whack. Say there's a crisis in the family and they're all having to be at a hospital with another child or what? Imagine. Maybe in some kind of a job situation where they're not home. And the kids have to act like adults. Take up adults' responsibility that they're not ready for, that they're not capable of, and that they shouldn't have to take up. But when the parents come back and retake their parental responsibilities, sometimes it's hard for the kids to let go. Well, Mom, Dad, we were just going to do things this way. We weren't going to worry about how often the laundry got done. We weren't going to worry about eating a balanced meal. We weren't going to worry about going to school. So it takes time to get back to a functioning, responsible relationship where the parents are the parents and the kids are the kids. So in your relationship between your soul and your spirit, it's going to take time for your soul to release and relinquish the responsibility that it took on. And it was appropriate for it to take on those responsibilities. A lot of the things we've inherited, a lot of the beliefs, the genetic defects, are not just physical, but they're also soulical. You have inherited family, so when we talk about generational curses, these are things that you have inherited, whether you accept that or not. It doesn't make it not true. It's just as if you didn't, inherited a talent. Say if somebody in the family was a great pianist. People look to the next generation and following generations to be musically inclined. There's an influence there. regardless of whether you accept it or not, there's an expectation there. You know it's there. Your soul is in the process of ridding itself of that by God healing our wounds that come from not being able to meet those expectations. If you think you're supposed to be a world-class pianist and you don't like it, you can't do it, you fail every time you try, you may reject the whole concept and go the other way and reject the family as well, rather than just saying, that's just not something I'm interested in. So there's a lot of barriers that we have in our expectations and in the expectations of others about how we should live our lives and how our soul should relate to one another. So coming back to the whole idea of waiting, the more time we wait with God and on Him and in Him, the more opportunity He has to free us, to free our soul, to be joined to our spirit. The more time those parents that have returned to put the house in order, the more time the parents spend with the children to get back to the routine, the easier it will be for the children to relinquish and relax and go back to just being kids. And your soul wants to just go back to being soul, mind, will, and emotions. Your mind wants to trust in what God is revealing. Your emotions want to relax and be healed and accept the love that God expresses. And your will wants to be available to choose what God wants it to do and just say, yes, Lord. But it takes time. So coming back to ministry, so many want to go into ministry for so many different reasons, but one of them is because you are immersed in others who also love God. And there is a support system and a camaraderie. But in many ways, it's just a bunch of other children who have taken over role of parenthood from God and are trying to do things their own way. And this is often what denominations are, or congregations. Just everybody from similar kinds of families where the adults have run amok and have abandoned the children to their own devices. Now, in these examples, the adults are not other people. They are spirit, your spirit, my spirit. And it's not that we were abandoned by our spirit, but we were born without spirit. But when our spirit is reborn in us, this is why we say we are born again. When we are born again, we begin to come under discipline. Not for punishment, but for freedom. To allow our soul to just be our soul, to just be soul. And to let our body stop carrying the load of trying to meet the needs of the soul. So when we look at ministry, we we start with the whole idea that our needs are met. That the process of becoming healed and whole and one, spirit, soul, and body, is God's responsibility through our spirit. So within you, you have parent and child in spirit and soul. And the body is the environment in which you live. That's your house. So we don't look to outside sources to discipline, to love, to guide our children, our soul. We look to our own parent, our own spirit. And again, your spirit, you've been reborn by God. That which is born of spirit is spirit. If you have been born again, you are born of God. He is in you, around you, in front of you, behind you, even right now. Every aspect of your circumstance has been crafted for you by Him to bring freedom to your soul. So He gives us these challenges in our life. And sometimes those challenges are our own desires. Our own desire for ministry, or for rejection of ministry, or for wanting to be around people, or for not wanting to be around people, whatever. Whatever your situation is, that situation was crafted by God for the purpose of bringing your soul into its original position with your spirit, to free it from trying to do things it was not meant to do. Now, going through the process, for some, God draws us and reveals Himself into places where specifically his task for us is to share with others what He has shared with us. Now, that's true to some extent for everyone, for every believer. Every believer is in ministry because everyone now has that desire to share with others what they have received. But that sharing comes with a cost. And depending on the level of sharing, the higher the cost. So when we talk about going into the ministry or being involved in ministry, whether it's a recognized public ministry or just ministering to your own family, there is a cost. Sharing what God has given you will cost you something. Now, it will always be worth it, but we want to know ahead of time what is coming. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be surprised. God's concept of what ministry is very different from what is taught and experienced in most religious circles these days. His emphasis is on ministering to and through each individual, not necessarily on the effect we have on others. Again, you're what's important for Him. He doesn't need you to accomplish His purpose in somebody else. For some, this may be a relief. But for others, it may be a contradiction of what you've been taught, your perception of your relationship with God and with those you're ministering to. understanding his dual purposes for ministry, to train you in dependence and to give himself through you to others, remembering those purposes will help keep your perspective as you consider what God may have in store for you. So there are, and we're going to just talk about three different approaches. And these are simply a way of discussing how God speaks to us and his expectations. These are not levels. These are not hierarchies. These are simply terms we can use to describe how God relates to his people. This is in no way means that you categorize yourself. If you're in one category, you're not as good as in somebody else who's in another category, or if you're in one category, you're better than somebody else. Instead, you're going to allow the Lord to talk to you and speak to you and use every circumstance to let him guide, direct, and heal you. So the scriptures, and we are going to talk about schools. This is something we are all familiar with. We're going to talk about the school of the Spirit and the school of the prophets and the King's College. And again, these are just ways to look at, take a look at what your expectations are, what you've been taught, and what do you want? What is the Lord saying to you? We'll start with the school of the Spirit. Now, the school of the Spirit is for all saints. It's for every child of God. When you became a spirit being, you automatically entered the school of the Spirit. It's just simply a place where God is going to take responsibility for training you, getting you ready for what your tomorrow will bring. This is not a choice you made or needed to qualify for due to a test that you took. But it's a response to the desire of God himself. God's Spirit indwells us to reveal the Father, bringing us eventually, as we wait, into full stature of a Son. Spirit, soul, and body. That's it. It's the final goal is really not that complicated. To be one, spirit, soul, and body. The school of the Spirit is similar to kindergarten. The tuition is free, and the basic skills and tests and requirements are minimal. Most Christians fall into this category of student, since they are content to spend enough time with God so that they know they're going to heaven when they die, and they know how to pray when they need something. The opportunity to graduate is available for everyone, but some prefer kindergarten. They prefer to maintain their control over what they do with their time, with their talents, with their wounds. In most cases, the Lord allows this, knowing that eventually they will be faced with the trials and healing that are necessary to bring them into Christlikeness. It just might not be in this earth age. In other words, they may have to deal with those things in whatever comes next. Then there's the school of the prophets. We could say, just as the school of the Spirit is for the children of God, we could say the school of the prophets are for the friends of God. Now, for our purposes, the term prophets simply refers to someone who hears from God, then speaks or acts accordingly. This school is for anyone who desires to be used of God to share what God has given them, regardless of their specific ministry. So, we're not talking about the gift of prophecy or what some call the office of a prophet, but simply those who have learned dependence enough to knowingly be used by the Lord, to cooperate with Him, to set the captives free in whatever form and by whatever means or gift that's necessary at any given time. So, regardless of the circumstance. Now, tuition for the school of the prophets is high. And it is paid for individually and solely by each student. Because these ministers speak for the Lord, they must go through His rigorous training. Because He does not like being misrepresented. And when you say, Lord, use me, He first has to make us usable. So it's not just about the doing, it's about being made ready. The Lord knows how wounded and unlearned we are. So He provides fellowship and encouragement through our peers. He provides an authority figure and reward and recognition related to public accomplishment. If we thought about it, most involved in ministry today are at this level. There is an even greater opportunity for those who are qualified and are invited. And those are for the King's College. Those are for the sons of God. Now, specifically, if you have been born again, you are a son of God. But you may not be acting as a son of God. You can be, for instance, a son of a king right now, a daughter of a king. And if you don't know it, doesn't do you any good. You could have inherited $1 billion in the bank, but if nobody tells you about it, it doesn't do you any good. So, God may reveal your inheritance to you, your relationship with Him. So just as the school of the Spirit is for the children of God, and the school of the prophets is for the friends of God, the King's College is for the sons of God. But you must qualify, and you must be invited. And you must endure the training of the school of the prophets. Then the Lord extends an invitation to enter the King's College. When the Lord asks, who will go for us? There is a response in this one's heart that says, here am I. Send me. Not what's in it for me. Not well, what does this involve? Not, okay, well, maybe, but you'll have to explain to me how this fits into my theological beliefs. That doesn't sound right. That's not what I was taught. Hearing his voice, knowing his voice, and saying, yes, I'll do it. So this is where we'll pick up and get into a little bit more about what's involved in being, what will it look like to be a son of God here on this earth. So we'll pick it up here next week at the same time. You can always drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or contact me through Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.